From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, February 14th, 2017. And on this day, the details on Governor Paula Page's accusation of unethical behavior against State Rep. Ryan Tipping and Tipping's response to said accusation. And our new Maine voter requirements in the legislature right now, voter suppression or just making the law constitution compliant. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Master of Public Health Program, preparing students for today's complex population health and health services needs.
Republican leaders in Augusta, including Governor Paula Page, are calling for Democratic State Representative Ryan Tipping of Orono to step down as co-chairman of the Taxation Committee. They say his connection to a referendum campaign committee makes him ineligible. Tipping rejects the criticism as politically motivated and is refusing to step down. Mal Leary has details.
Last year, Tipping was paid about $9,000 by the group Citizens Who Support Maine's Public Schools to work on the campaign to pass Question 2. That was the citizen initiative that placed a 3% surtax on income over $200,000 in order to increase school funding. In a news release, the state Republican Party charged that Tipping has a conflict of interest in continuing as co-chair of the Taxation Committee, which is considering legislation to repeal the tax hike. Governor LePage, appearing on Bangor radio station WVOM, went further and called for Tipping to resign from the legislature.
You're turning your back on the constituent you're supposed to serve. And, you know, like everybody else, he has a constituent that's struggling on fixed incomes. And here he is enriching himself with the teachers union. Shame on him.
The $3.8 million campaign in support of the referendum was funded by various progressive groups, including the National Education Association and its state affiliate, the Maine Education Association. The union, which represents Maine teachers, and for disclosure, most reporters at Maine Public Radio. House Republican leader Ken Fredette of Newport says Tipping should relinquish his position as co-chair of the Taxation Committee.
It's a real problem. I mean, if anyone doesn't think that this is a real problem, I think that's it's really disingenuous. And so, again, I think it's really upon Representative Tipping to do the right thing. Simply step down from the committee, let the committees do the work that they need to do.
Fredette says it's a matter of public trust and perception. But Tipping says he's not stepping down as co-chair of the tax panel. He says that before he worked for the Question 2 camp, he asked the State Ethics Commission staff about the propriety of a sitting legislator and a candidate for election taking such a job. He says he was told that he would not be in violation of conflict of interest laws.
We are a citizen legislature. We all have jobs outside of this building, whether it's working on campaigns to build better funding model for our schools, or whether it's running a small business that's affected by the tax code. There are a number of issues that pop up for any legislator.
Via email, Jonathan Wayne, executive director of the Ethics Commission, confirms that Tipping was advised that he could accept the employment within the conflict of interest standards in the legislative ethics law. Wayne says that based on the factual information available, including the GOP press release, it seems unlikely that the representative's past work for the PAC would require him to recuse himself from legislation relating to taxation or education funding. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Maine is facing a nursing shortage, and a new forecast predicts the state will be down more than 3,000 nurses by 2025. Patty White reports.
Most nurses in Maine are over the age of 45, which means there's an impending employment cliff, according to three nurses groups in the state. Add in an aging population that will place a greater demand on services, and Maine needs to boost the number of newly licensed nurses by 20% each year to sustain quality care. The Maine nursing forecaster suggests that the solution is to increase capacity for in-state nursing education and recruit out-of-state nurses. At a press conference in the State House Tuesday, Republican Senator Amy Volk said she's proposed legislation that would make it easier to recruit nurses licensed in other states. Meanwhile, the University of Maine at Fort Kent plans to make Bachelor of Science in Nursing degrees available to students in Presque Isle this fall. The announcements come on the heels of St. Joseph's College's plan to expand its nursing program thanks to a $1.5 million grant. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Maine's Department of Transportation has seen a flurry of applications for new snowplow drivers in the last few weeks. That's after wide publicity about several dozen vacancies this winter. But as Fred Bever reports, the DOT will still have to contend with pay scales in southern Maine that are lower than what the competition offers.
DOT spokesman Ted Talbot says the news is good.
We've received hundreds of applications statewide, and that's very encouraging, and we've certainly gotten some qualified people out of that. One of the challenges is, of course, that not everybody has this CDL license, so it takes a while, and we'll get them to that CDL experience.
In southern Maine, where competition is fiercest for qualified drivers, Talbot says the department now has fewer than 20 vacancies. But he acknowledges competitors may be able to offer higher pay. Those include the Maine Turnpike Authority, where Executive Director Peter Mills says plow drivers in southern Maine start at $5 an hour more than what DOT drivers make.
We pay $18.50, and we compete about head-to-head with the towns at that price. The state just will not recognize a geographic differential. They don't for any of their employees.
The Department of Transportation's Ted Talbot says his agency recognizes the issue and may try to address it later this year. But for now, he says, it's focused on getting through this winter, including the next big storm predicted for Wednesday into Thursday. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And finally today, voting rights advocates and college students in Maine are hoping to defeat a pair of bills that could make it harder for some people to vote. The legislature will hold a public hearing tomorrow to weigh the proposals, which have emerged at a time when Republican leaders, including the president, are making claims that the electoral system is fraught with voter fraud. Steve Missler has our story.
The bill sponsored by House Republican leader Ken Fredette addresses a section of voting law dealing with people who tend to move around, military service members and college students. But Fredette's bill only targets students. It would require them to do one of three things before they can vote: register their car in Maine, prove they pay income or property taxes here, or show a driver's license with a residence that matches where they want to vote. Fredette says the proposal is simple: to ensure that college students claiming Maine residency on Election Day are actually residents.
Last thing I want to do is disenfranchise anybody from voting. However, we do have a constitution, and the constitution says you in fact have to be a resident to vote.
But opponents have a different view.
Anytime that a bill targets a specific population for stricter rules before they can vote, that is voter suppression, and it is unconstitutional.
Omi Amarasingham of the ACLU of Maine says Fredette's bill contributes to voter suppression because it singles out a specific type of voter. Right now, college students are treated like everyone else who wants to vote here. To register, all they need is a utility bill or something else that shows they're living here. Amarasingham says that by restricting the proof of residency options for college students, the bill makes it harder for them to vote. Ali Robidoux is a senior at Bates College and co-leader of Bates Student Action. She says the bill embodies the rhetoric and electioneering tactics she's witnessed in Lewiston. 2 years ago, flyers falsely claiming that students couldn't vote were distributed on campus during the run-up to a contentious mayoral election. And Robidoux says some people in Lewiston are hostile to out-of-state college students participating in local elections.
It's publicly been expressed frequently to us as students that people aren't always as happy. Some people aren't as happy with our ability to vote here.
Robidoux and other students received a similar message on Election Day when Governor Paul LePage threatened to investigate those from out of state who voted, but who did not register their cars or obtain Maine driver's licenses. At the time, Secretary of State Matt Dunlap, a Democrat, sharply criticized the governor's remarks as an attempt to intimidate college voters. Gabe Frankel, a member of the Bowdoin College Democrats, says Fredette's bill is basically a legislative vehicle to gerrymander an electorate that typically doesn't favor Republicans.
It does follow a trend of politicians trying to put up legal obstacles for voting blocks, you know, who might pose a threat to their electoral chances.
Frankel is from New York City and Rabideau is from Massachusetts. From Ferdet's perspective, the two students don't have strong connections to the communities they live in during college. Yet, he says, college students can influence local elections, such as a city council race, school budget votes, or local construction bonds.
I mean, if you're pulling into Bates College and you've got a Florida plate on your car, I have a tough time feeling that that's someone who's pretty connected to the community.
But Bates senior Megan Lynch says such generalizations aren't fair. Lynch, after all, is from Scarborough.
I can name all my city councilors in Lewiston and who my state reps are here in Lewiston, but I can't do the same for Scarborough, to be honest. So I think that just speaks to my commitment to Lewiston and my college town.
Also, she says,
a lot of students kind of come into their political awakening, if you will, while at college, when they're not living under their parents' roof and when they're able to vote finally.
But there's more at issue here than traditional town and gown tensions. The title of Ferdet's bill includes the words voting integrity. Those buzzwords are often deployed when lawmakers say they're guarding against election or voter fraud. And Mainers, like all Americans, have heard a lot about fraud and rigged elections over the past several months. And it's coming straight from the White House. Stephen Miller, an aide to President Trump, made these claims just last weekend to ABC News host George Stephanopoulos.
This morning on this show is not the venue for me to lay out all the evidence, but I can tell you this. Voter fraud is a serious problem in this country. You have millions of people who are registered in two states or who are dead or who are registered to vote.
Miller's claims earned a sharp rebuke from Stephanopoulos and four Pinocchios from the fact-checkers at the Washington Post. But Trump continues to assert that voter fraud robbed him of the popular vote against Hillary Clinton. Among Trump's claims is that thousands of voters from Massachusetts were bused into New Hampshire to illegally vote there. The president's claim has been widely debunked by Tom Rath, the former Republican Attorney General in the Granite State, and Fergus Cullen, the former state chairman of the GOP. The ACLU's Omi Amarasingham says the Trump administration's claims, as well as remarks by Governor Paula Page, are a ploy designed to incite fear and pass laws that restrict eligible voters from the polls.
These are baseless claims. There is no evidence of fraud in our elections here in Maine or across the country.
Various studies and investigations back up Amarasingham's statement. That includes a local investigation by former Republican Secretary of State Charlie Summers 4 years ago. Summers was asked by the Maine GOP to investigate double voting by out-of-state college students. The probe turned up no wrongdoing, but the lack of evidence has not deterred some from pushing anti-fraud measures. According to a 2014 analysis by the Washington Post, there were 31 credible instances of voter impersonation fraud out of more than a billion ballots. Yet, according to the Brennan Center for Justice, there are dozens of anti-fraud bills in the GOP-controlled state legislatures across the country this year. That includes a bill targeting college voters in Maine and another one in New Hampshire. Nonetheless, Bates College student Ali Rabideau says she and other students plan to speak out and attend the public hearing on Ferdet's bill in a separate voter ID proposal.
I think this is something we care a lot about, and we're absolutely going to be fighting for our right to continue voting here.
Both public hearings are scheduled for Wednesday before the Veterans and Legal Affairs Committee. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And you can find more of today's stories online at mainepublic.org. And that's This Day in Maine for February 14th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Moore and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.